What's going on, guys? Sean Mathis here, CEO and founder of Surefire Digital Media, creator of the Insurance Hustle podcast and the Insurance Hustle group. So I've got Lewis Sutton here with me, and we've had some interesting conversations over the last couple of days regarding sales. Lewis works with one of the top farmers agencies in his district. They're usually number one, number two in the year. Based out of Oklahoma, he's in the top 10%, maybe even top 5% of the nation when it comes to producers, and really valuable sales insight. It's funny, we were actually, he was listening in on some of our team calls, listening to me on a call, and his sales skills are just so on point. I put the guy on mute. I'm like, Lewis, help me out here. What do I got to do to close this guy? I've been on the phone for like an hour, and I could not get this guy to move to the next step. One simple question that Lewis had me ask the guy changed the total dynamic of the conversation. And so I was like, man, we got to share this with the group. We got to share this with Insurance House. We got to share your mindset. He works one-on-one with Grant Cardone. He's been through a plethora of masterminds, worked with some of the top trainers in the world. I've personally worked with him for the last 3 or 4 years. He consistently closes more business than any of my clients when it comes to a percentage of leads that he quotes, he sells. There's just no better closer that I personally work with or that I've known, and I've worked with thousands of insurance agents across the country, than Lewis Sutton. So I really appreciate you taking time here, man, to share your insight and drop some knowledge bombs here in the Insurance Hustle group. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hopefully we can help some of these people out.
Yeah, so we were talking, and I just kind of wanted to rehash this out so that you know, the guys in the group and agents who are listening in can pick up a couple of you know, helpful tips and tricks and best practices of how to grow their agency. Obviously, we're moving into 2020. So what would you say has really helped you personally get to the top? And then, you know, obviously you've worked with people in the district, you've done countless trainings and worked with agencies all over the country and in your district to help their sales game. What's helped you get to where you're at, and why do you have such a higher closing rate than other insurance agents, would you say?
Well, honestly, whenever I go and I go into people's offices and I help train the other insurance agents, the most common trend I see that I do differently is I go in every month, every day with a plan. I know what every second of every day looks like for me, what I'm supposed to be doing. And the only thing that throws a wrench in that plan is appointments.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing a sales presentation, well, I know exactly what I'm going to be doing. It's going to be something along the lines of prospecting. Most agents don't prospect enough, or they're having just one form of prospecting.
Yeah.
So that's really the meat and potatoes of what makes me different than everybody else. Most agents go into work and they have no idea what they're going to do. You get some random answer like, well, I want to do some follow-ups on the quotes that I did. I'm going to sell a policy today.
Yeah.
Well, that's the big goal, but what are you going to do today to make that happen? Nobody can tell you that.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, that's spot on. You know, I talk to agents every day, diving into their business and, you know, figuring out what's, you know, what their struggles are. Work with a lot of captive agents from Allstate, State Farm, Farmers, independent agents. You know, I'd say our core customer probably is that 10-year to 15-year agent who, you know, has probably a $3 to $7 or $8 million book, 3 to 5 employees. And, you know, it's interesting after being in the business so long, and granted, now I feel like an agent 10 to 15 years is probably at a little bit of a disadvantage from some of the newer guys. You know, guys who have come into the business just a few years ago, they came in with technology and all of these cool systems you know, automations and drip campaigns and things like that. Agents that were 10 to 15 years, that started 10 to 15 years ago, they didn't have that. And it seems like it's been really difficult for them to navigate the massive changes that have happened with technology. And it's just an interesting dynamic that you see. So, you know, what would you say is, you know, the biggest setback from some of these agents that are kind of in that core group that might be listening, you know, that have 3 to 5 employees? Because you've come at it from both the consulting angle as well as the team member angle. You know, I started as a team member as well. You know, what would you say is the biggest setback that some of these guys are having, or the biggest hurdle that core group of agents is having in their office?
Well, when I talk with these people that have been in the business 10, 15, 20 years, they're still stuck in the old ways. They have a hard time adapting to the new technology and utilizing it. Things of that nature, they believe in card and a handshake. And don't get me wrong, there is a time and a place for that stuff still sure. today.
Sure.
But how are you going about doing that? How are you getting in front of these people? Because the technology, if you're not utilizing technology, you're selling yourself short. So they hire producers, and you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, they're mingling the two by their employees. They don't know that stuff. They hire people that do. But the reality is these people don't have any sales training.
Yeah.
And in my experience, and you guys watching, they'll take this the wrong way, but 95% of the people that are in a sales job shouldn't be there because they don't know how. they don't know what kind of work it takes. You know, it's math. You walk in, and I ask every agent that asks for my help, hey, can you tell me the math? How many phone calls does it take you to get a quote done? How many quotes do you have to do to close somebody?
Yeah.
If you can't answer those questions, you're selling yourself short. If you can't do that, how can you monitor your staff?
Yeah.
And you have to look yourself in the mirror and ask myself, what am I doing to help these people close? But a lot of agents are like, man, they're just sucking my money. But if you don't know your own math, how are you supposed to help them with theirs?
Yeah, and I think so, you know, metrics and tracking is a huge thing too that I notice a lot of agents don't have. They don't know the numbers. You know, they've really been riding the renewal trains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from the top down, you know, I work with, I've got some corporate contracts with some of the biggest providers in the world. And, you know, I sit in these executive meetings and look at it from the top down. So I see a lot of different angles of looking at the business. And you're seeing companies adjust compensation plans. I've seen it happen two or three different times with some of the top five carriers where they're taking away renewals. They're incentivizing new business growth. And, you know, agents who have traditionally been able to come in and walk into, you know, a $3 or $4 million renewal book of business, they could theoretically golf most of the time and not grow. As long as they could maintain, they'll still make money. But with new compensation structures, that's not possible. And so a lot of these agents are really forced into a decision of, we have to grow or we have to sell. Like, I've got a book coming out, The Insurance Marketing Blueprint, and that's one of the things I said. With this group of agents between 10 and 15 years in the business, you either have to adapt or you really need to reconsider being in the business at all. Because the days of riding the renewal trains, if you're with a captive carrier, are done. You're not. You can't survive. And they're looking to squeeze those people out of the business, to squeeze them out of their books and make it so difficult with compliance and with compensation plans that if you are not going to aggressively grow, then you will be forced out.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to grow. And you see agents all the time. I hear them every day. They'll call our office. And maybe not so much talking to me, but talking to the other business partners in the office. We'll call them. Hey, you killed it this month. Good job. He's like, yeah, but I lost 40 policies this month. And I only wrote 40 policies. Or I lost 56 this month and I only wrote 30. So I'm still losing. But the problem is retention. But where you get those people who don't sell anything, like I sold 2 new policies this month in new business, but I lost 60. A lot of these agents are going under, and the compensation plans you're talking about is killing people. A lot of agents are sitting there, they're banging their head up against the wall going, I'm going under because I can't get new business. But it goes back, when we reverse the roles on you a little bit, you send out those forms to kind of gauge where people's doing, what they're doing with their marketing money and things of that nature. Where is the new business coming from? And correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to get people saying, hey, I spend money on Facebook advertising. I do internet leads I buy. I do mail outs, I do cold calling on my win back list or whatever. But then you have a box in there that says, well, where's the majority of your business coming from for new business? And I'd be willing to bet that 98% of the time it's referrals.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually that was interesting, you know, as Lewis and I looked through the folks that we talk to on a daily basis, you know, the agents that we talk to who are looking to grow, we have a fact-finding sheet that they fill out to confirm an appointment with us so that we have an idea what we're walking into before we get on the phone. And one of the questions, like you said, is where are you spending your marketing dollars? And those are the top four, Google, Facebook, internet leads, and direct mail. And then the very next question is where's most of your new business premium coming from? And it's from the book and referrals. And, you know, that's something that we looked at and you know, most people are spending money on advertising of some sort, 86% of insurance agents are buying, at least buying internet leads. I'd say probably 99% are spending money on marketing. And there is a very few percentage that are where it's actually effective. Mm-hmm. So it leads agents in a really tight spot to figure out, okay, I have to grow. I have to. There's either that or get out of the business. And we talked to an agent yesterday who gets stuck in this plateau of, when I'm at two people, I'm profitable. I try to get to that third and fourth person. We write more production, but I'm not profitable. And because to feed that third and fourth person, now I got to spend money to advertise. I got to get more leads. But the problem is they're not closing the business. And all comes down to closing business. It's easy to close a referral. It's easy to work your book and get somebody to give you an opportunity for an auto when you have the home, or vice versa. But what happens is we're all spending money to grow our business. Very few of you are actually converting any of that money into real premium dollars, real bottom line profitability, and you end up sinking. And so there's this plateau around that $3 to $5 million that it's really hard to get over. And then what's interesting, when you look at the top performers, you look at the guys that are writing 100, 200, 300 policies a month, and you look at what they're doing, and they've got massive teams, and they're spending massive amounts of money. And you ask them where their business comes from, and it's internet leads, Facebook advertising, and live transfers.
Mm-hmm.
It's those, they're not getting most of their business from referrals. Why? You can't organically grow that fast.
You're depending on luck.
It's a slow process, and there's no way to, there's no plan. Like you said, it's luck. There's no plan of, we're going to get 30 referrals this month. You can try, you can do little initiatives, but the top producers are closers. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, how can you help? What can you say that you're seeing a lot of team members, like, what can an agent do to find a closer, and why do you think it's some of these offices are getting stuck, and how do you shift a mindset of an agent or a team who is not used to closing internet leads, or they've been living off referrals or the book, and now it's time to aggressively grow and get on that sales hat? What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, I would definitely vet better who you're hiring. The interview process should be a little bit more lengthy, and quite frankly, I prefer somebody who has zero sales experience at all. I'd rather you come in there bare bones, naked per se, come in the sales field, so I can train you exactly where I want you. Yeah. People believe, and this is a big myth, people believe you either got it or you don't. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely not true. You can be taught sales. I'm living proof of that. I actually hate talking to people. I'm an introvert when I'm not at work. I want to be by myself. But I learn sales, because sales can make me money. If you ask, I would ask people that question: what's your number one motivation in getting to this job? If they don't answer with money, they're in the wrong job.
Yeah.
I mean, you do this, if you're not money motivated, you're not going to work hard. You're not going to do the work that needs to be done. You won't do the math. Typically those are lazy people. You want to get them out real quick. Be quick to hire and be quicker to fire. If they're not bringing money to the table, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Quick, I know it sounds cutthroat, but fire, like exactly.
We both worked with Grant, and one of the things that we talked about is how to look at, and the very first interview I ever did with Grant was on morale and growing a business. How do you build a culture of winning within an organization? And it starts with hiring, but then, you know, a lot of agents, they don't have the capacity to let somebody go and retrain somebody, and they feel stuck. So you've got to figure out ways to compensate that. And the great thing about technology is there are ways now to pick up the slack and create an ecosystem and create an environment where one agent can handle far more sales opportunities, leads, by having systems and processes in place that I think agents are going to have to start evaluating. But at the end of the day, it is a sales game. I mean, this is a sales.
Absolutely.
This is a sales business. And I love that you said you have to be motivated. I used to talk with agents when I was mentoring them at Liberty Mutual about, why did you get into the insurance world? And you'll get that common cliche answer of, I want to help people. I want to help people. And I think, you know, maybe.
I want to help people too, but I want to help myself, my banking account.
Let's be honest. We got in here for renewals. That's why you got in this. You saw the residuals. You saw the unlimited income opportunity. Yeah. You saw the ability to build a legacy for your family. You saw having a tangible asset that you can build and sell. But then we say, oh, what's to help people? That's not number one. It can't be. And I love that you said that because that's the truth. And if we want to get honest with ourselves, that's who you need to be looking for. If you want to hire a helper, make sure that's a service role because we do need to help people. Don't get me wrong. But that can't be your sales force's motivation for being in that role. It's got to be money.
Absolutely.
It's got to be.
Hands down.
They got to be competitive.
It blows my mind how much money people spend on ads and mailers and things of that nature. They don't close any business out of it. And then you go back and ask yourself, and I already know the answer to it, but why do you spend the money? Why do you put that in your marketing plan? The answer is because your DM makes you fill out a marketing plan because you're sucking wind. You're shrinking inside, and you're supposed to be growing. So you're pissing off upper management on the corporate side. Well, let me see your marketing plan. If you don't have, hey, I'm doing Facebook ads, I'm doing mailers to these people, he's not gonna be very happy with you. And so you put it on there because you have to, and you spend the money because you have to.
Yeah.
But you don't know what you don't. But you're not doing anything with it. You're just blowing money. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of the depending on the company that you're with. Some things are so highly suggested from the top, you feel like you have to. It's like, I just have to do it. And then I think we go into this, I think we go into marketing with this mindset of, I have to, or as long as I'm breaking even. As long as I'm breaking even, I'm good. And breaking even, as Grant says, is a failing formula. You're not going to last in business if you're just breaking even. Grant talks about looking at growth. Your sales team, he says, you know, they have to make you money. Your salespeople shouldn't be costing you.
Yeah, you have producers working for you. Those aren't, those employees don't cost money. They buy you time. There's 24 hours in a day. I hire Sean. Now I have 48 hours in that same 24 hours. You know, I get another one. Now I got 72 hours to where the single guy only has 24. They don't cost money. Yeah. They buy time. You're duplicating yourself. And that's up to you to train them to do what you do. And if you're not doing sales training at least once a week, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, well, why is my team sucking? Go to the mirror, into the bathroom, and tell me what you see back. It's you. Why they suck.
Well, and that's the fact that as a leader of an organization, the success and the failures rest upon the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what it is. And a lot of times are the agents, especially in that 10 to 15 year gap, I'm going to hit on that because that's where we're seeing the biggest shift right now. These guys you're in a tough spot, man. You haven't been selling. A lot of these guys, when you've got three or four agents, they are doing the selling, they're doing the quoting, and you've been hands off. But now you've got to shift the team in a new direction. It's time that you've got to take the wheel back and you've got to move them in a new direction. And sometimes you've been so far gone from the sales game yourself that you don't know how to train them. What do I say? How do you work this new dynamic of customer, this new tech-savvy millennial generation that's coming through mediums that's just completely different than how you've reached them in the past. It even if you were to try to sell them, it's a new gear, it's a new type of customer, and I think, you know, some of the younger guys like yourself, you're able to speak their language, you're able to communicate better, and sometimes these agents, even if they had good sales training 10 years ago and they had good closing rates, mm-hmm. I think you'd struggle with today's lead. You know, the way that we're reaching consumers for our clients, we're not doing search-based marketing anymore. We're doing disruptive marketing. We're creating shopping events. We're getting a very specific customer in through the funnel, and they're looking for value. It's a value-driven customer, and it's interesting that I work with agents who talk about wanting to sell value, and they're at a captive carrier because we sell the value of our agency, but you listen to the calls, and they're selling price.
It's always price. It's like that with the independence captive. In my experience, and I'm sure there's other people out there that don't do this, but in my experience, independent agents are independent, so they can sell price because they don't know how to sell anything else. Captive agents, they see the value, but they always get into a price battle because, once again, they don't know how to get off of the price battle because every client out there these days, they're price shoppers. Mm-hmm. Majority of people care about price because the salesperson is unable to show them value. They don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Case in point, they can't sell.
Right. And so the agent who hasn't sold value in so long, it's next to impossible to adequately train a team when you're so far disconnected from marketing strategies of today. You're still providing leads that were generated with strategies from 10 years ago. Your team hasn't been accustomed to putting their sales cap on. They've been working nothing but referrals in the book, and now you're putting them into this sea of sharks. And that's what the real sales world is. We're sharks, we're hunters. And you're putting a flower picker in the middle of this and hoping that they're gonna come out and survive and get their share of the pie. And I just don't think it's realistic. So what do you do? What do you do in that sense?
If you can't do it yourself, you're so far unattached from the sales world, it's been that long. You've got to get somebody in there that does know what to do. Go train yourself so you can train your team, or call somebody in to help train you and your team. You've got to put processes in. How many mailers does it take you to get a hold of somebody? Mm-hmm. If you don't know that, you're just spending money to spend money. Like, how does that follow-up process go? How many times do you call them? Do you ever go visit that business that you sent the mailer to? Who's doing that? I know agents who, you know, spend thousands of dollars on mailers every month, sending thousands of these things, and then ask them, well, what's the follow-up to it? And I get I just do that to get my name out there.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't drive any action. There's no call to action for that person getting the mailer. I mean, yeah, it probably has your name and your phone number on it, but you're banking on them calling you, which is never going to happen because you didn't provide any value to them. You have to be on the other end and drive somebody to make a decision. These people don't want to be sold, okay, for one.
Yeah.
These people want to buy. You have to give them a reason to buy and push them in that direction, because people are incapable of making decisions on their own. You have to help them do that. So if you don't know how to do that, you need to hire somebody that does know how to do that to train you. So you can train your team and really get that expansion that you're looking for, you know, that your bosses are looking for at the corporate level. Get them off your butt and become a rock star.
Yeah.
I mean,
You got to hire somebody. And that doesn't necessarily mean internally. Maybe it is internal. Maybe you hire a sales manager that's got some great sales experience. But maybe it's working with a company like ourselves. Maybe it's hiring a coach. Maybe it's hiring a consultant. Maybe it's hiring a marketing firm. But I think, you know, a lot of times agents, especially in the small business world, you know, you're a small business, you know, 3 to 5 employees, and you're competing in the most competitive industry that is spending billions of dollars on marketing, hundreds of millions on social media alone. And they have systems, they have processes, and you're trying to get your share of that. And it's really tough to do when you're also being pulled in 1,000 directions with employees, turnover, you got corporate meetings, and you've got reports, and you've got HR, and you've got accounting, and you've got lead vendors calling, and you've got people calling in sick. You're pulled in 1,000 different directions. And then you've also got to focus in on your team. And sometimes it's hard to see the picture when you're sitting in the frame. And if you get somebody outside of the organization that can just focus on driving new business, that can just focus on where your marketing dollars are going, that can just focus on holding the team accountable. What's going on with this deal, this deal, this deal? How many contacts did you make? How many calls came in from the mailers? How many leads did we get from Facebook? How many did we quote? What is our cost per acquisition? If you can hire somebody who can just focus on that, you'd be surprised at what you could do with the money that you've already conceded to wasting on internet leads. It's interesting, you know, agents will spend money on marketing ventures they know aren't gonna work. You buy internet leads and you know they're not going to work, but they do it anyway. Instead of investing in a good employee, or instead of investing in an outside firm to come in and take a look at things. And you know, there's nothing wrong with reaching out and asking for help. In fact, you're gonna sink. Your ship has holes in it already. I'm seeing it across the board at carriers across the country, regardless of experience level. There has not been enough focus on the sales side of things. And it doesn't matter how technical the marketing strategy can be. It doesn't matter how good the lead is. At the end of the day, if you don't have the sales piece, it's all for naught.
Yep.
It,
those things are going to close themselves unless you just get lucky, because you sold price and you happen to win.
Yeah. And that's a hamster wheel.
Yep.
I mean, you and agents have been stuck in this wheel of lead provider after lead provider after lead provider after lead provider, never taking into account that they're all using the same process. The only variable is the sales rep.
Yeah.
And internally, there's not a sales process in place. There's no sales training in place. And most people will get hung up on price on the insurance game. So what are like, you know, three things that you're seeing, that three tips that you could give an insurance agent to overcome price?
Well, first, like I said, they're not there to buy, they're not there to be sold insurance. They're there to buy insurance. You have to convince them to buy your product or your service, and you have to really, you're selling yourself. You're the expert. I mean, I tell people all the time, people, oh, well, that's a lot of money. That's, you know, that's $60 more than I'm paying right now. Yeah, you're right. But right now you probably have a 1-800 number. Right. You go home today and your house is in smoldering ashes and it's a $300,000 home, which I think you would agree is probably the most money you've ever spent on anything in your life. More times than not, you're going to say yes. Don't you think it's a fair assessment to say you should probably protect that at all costs? Because that is the thing you invested the most money in your entire life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you feel better if you talk to somebody, the same person every single time, and you knew I'm going to care about you instead of calling 1-800 number, talking to some guy somewhere you've never met before and hoping he cares? Well, that's what I'm bringing to the table for you. Have you ever hired an attorney? Most people will say, yeah. Well, what do you have to pay them for them to work for you?
Retainer.
A retainer. I'm that guy. When you pay this premium for me, yeah, I'm a little bit more expensive, but you put me on a retainer. I'm going to give you my personal cell phone number. It's not a 1-800 number. I'm going to answer it 24/7. And I'm going to be there for you because you have me on a retainer. Anything insurance related, you can direct call me. I'm going to take care of you. People see that. They see the value in it. Hey, do you know what the penalties are being underinsured? In my experience, nobody ever goes over that with people. I mean, in Oklahoma, they're going to take the last 3 months and they're going to average that and they're going to take 25% of it until the remainder of the claims paid because you carry 25, 50, 25. Because they sold you a price. Mm-hmm. You tell people that, it gets them off that price point real quick. Hey, you want to save some money. But I think you would agree 25% of your check's a little bit more than just $30 we're talking about.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Is what you get. People let, oh, that's more than I'm paying. They let that stop the conversation. I mean, don't let no stop the conversation or, hey, I'm not interested. What are you not interested in? Ask the questions. Yeah, I mean, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen to them. They'll tell you how to sell them.
Yeah. I think that's the key, is asking questions. You know, a lot of times we look for what are the key words or what are the hot phrases? What, you know, how do you overcome the objections? Most people will overcome their own if you ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sales is not about selling.
You just have to listen to them.
It really is. If you want to start selling more, stop selling.
Yeah, listen to what they're telling you and regurgitate it back to them. Make sure you're on, it's called test for yes. Regurgitate what you're hearing from them to make sure you're understanding exactly what they're telling you. Like, if I understand you correctly, you're saying this. Am I right? Well, that requires a yes or no response. They say yes, you're on the same page, move forward. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, customers have never been asked the questions when it comes to insurance. They've not been asked the tough questions. Why do you have these? And I think most insurance agents get so caught up in the churn and burn, and it's, I got to get more quotes and I got to buy more leads. Some agents are buying far more leads than they ever should need to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds a day, 50, 100 a day, 200 a day. Insane numbers of leads because they're just throwing whatever in the funnel, hoping something sticks. And they've gotten away from having the conversation with people. You talked about, you know, some numbers the other day of, you know, what some people are quoting and what they're selling and versus what you're quoting, sometimes a quarter of the number that they're quoting, but you're selling just as much, if not more.
Exactly. Well, because people playing the numbers game, the price game, like it comes from the top down, quote, 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 quote. Well, and there's people in my office that I guarantee you look at their stuff and they probably quote three times as much as I do. But they don't have any sales because they don't have that conversation. They quote and they talk numbers,
yeah.
And which pushes you directly in that conversation you don't want to be in to begin with, price battle.
That you can't win.
That you can't win unless you're lucky. You're playing a lucky numbers game, which I don't play that game.
It's called a lottery.
And exactly. So I and people wonder why they're going under.
Yeah.
That's why. Because you're not going to win. People are always adjusting their rates, like being competitive. I mean, it's not all the same. People say, well, I want to see apples for apples. And I say, I tell people this, well, that's impossible. I can't give you apples for apples because what I have to offer you doesn't exist besides with me.
Yeah, that's good. That's true. And I think you got to believe that. I think agents have gotten away from believing in the value. And so I was saying earlier, you know, I talk with agents who they tell me this perfect customer that they're looking for, married, college educated, homeowners, multiple cars, multi-policy, risk adverse, good credit, good jobs. All right, we can target all of that. But then when they get that lead, they approach it the same way they did the 21-year-old monoline single car auto, works 4 to close 3 days a week at Walmart and the other 2 days at Applebee's. And they're trying to save them money. Guess what? You're college, educated, married, homeowner, multiple cars, kids, good job. They don't give a shit that you can save them money. They have money. Mm-hmm. That's what you wanted. You wanted them with money. They have money, and you're trying to show them how you can save them $20 a month.
If you want those clients for a loop, the ones that you really, really want that are your preferred clients, ask them this one simple question. Get them on the phone. What do you want your insurance to do for you?
That's good. Yeah.
Nobody's asked them that. I mean, unless they talk to me, I ask people that. All of them.
Yeah.
You're going to get the deer in the headlights. Like, what do you mean? Oh, well, insurance isn't all the same. You have a claim. What exactly do you want to happen? I mean, that's why you pay us.
What do you want your insurance to do for you? That's good.
So if you don't ask them that question, you're back to selling them price where I'm going to sell them value right off the top because I'm going to ask them that question.
Yeah.
Get their perspective of what they believe their insurance policy should do and then show them how you can give it to them and how their current policy is not going to do that.
Absolutely. So you got to slow down. You got to slow down. And it's not a numbers game. You have to know the numbers, but it's not a numbers game in the traditional sense of how we think of it in the insurance world.
Yeah, it's only numbers for the sales. How many phone calls do I have to make to close a deal? That's still the only numbers we're worried about.
Right. We've got to know the numbers, but you don't. More is not always more.
Absolutely not. I'll be honest. I don't work that hard. I do way less quotes than anybody in my office, and I close more stuff. My closure ratio is typically about 40%, which is astronomical. Look at the state of Oklahoma, the national or the statewide closing ratio is sitting about 9. And I'm at 40, so that gives you a difference is I know how to talk to people, I know how to listen, I know how to get what people are wanting out of their policy, and I can show them how I can give it to them. Everybody else is playing a numbers game. Hey, I quoted you, here it is. Do you understand it? Well, this is what it's gonna cost you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I see a lot of bad practice out there. A common one I see is blind quotes, quoting people that you've never talked to and just sending it out. There's a system called Quote Burst. All state agents are using. Mm-hmm. They're just sending quotes. Just haven't talked to them. Don't know anything about their family situation, their money situation, and they're just throwing quotes out there.
And why are you doing it? Because you're told you have to quote.
It's a numbers game.
I have to quote. Do quotes. How many of those people, and you guys can self-evaluate, but how many of those people actually called you back? Can you tell me that number? How many did you send out, and how many actually did call you back because of that mail out, and you closed them? I'd be willing to bet 98% of you can't answer that question.
Right. And the reason people are buying price, and you're probably thinking, let's get real, guys. In the real world, people are price motivated. That's what drives the conversation. It's what drives the conversation because you're letting them drive it. If you took control of the conversation, you stop selling price, they'll stop buying price. Start selling value and they'll buy value. It's interesting. I ran a campaign for one of our Allstate clients and, you know, in the midst of Allstate telling me, regardless of the state, they've got zip code. This is where we're competitive. You don't want to work hard. You don't want to close. You only want leads and zip codes where you see high closing rates. You want exclusive leads. You don't want any competition because you know your sales skills are lackluster at best. And you say you want to sell value, but then when you get the opportunity, you don't. You say you're not competitive against Geico, but the truth is you're competitive against Geico, just not price-wise. You've got far more value. you should, than Geico. And so we ran a campaign just to prove it for one of our Allstate agents, targeting Geico customers who experienced rate increases. And they had a lead that came through, and the customer went back and posted online that she switched from Geico to Allstate. She got a $500 deductible instead of $1,000. So she reduced her deductible by 50%. She got rental car coverage, which she didn't know she had, didn't have. She got towing reimbursement, which she didn't know that she didn't have. And she paid $20 more a month and was happy to do it. Now, you'd say the Geico customer isn't our, that's not our customer. I hear that so many times. That's not our customer because of the prior limits, or you can't control that. You can't control what they had before. You can't control the fact that most agents suck and they sold price and they have shitty limits. It's incumbent upon you to have the conversation. So, you know, how would you suggest before we head off here, how do we get our mind shifted away from price when that's just our natural go-to? We're used to having that conversation. What is the one thing that you could say, if you catch yourself slipping back into the numbers conversation, to kind of halt it, like we did my conversation, that one question that got everything back on track to let's focus on what's important here and get out of these little details and, you know, derailing the conversation. What's a solid question they could get back on track with?
Well, first of all, when you get into these conversations, slow down. People are so quick to get in there, go over the policy, give them the number, and either get the deal or don't get the deal. Slow down and make it about the customer. Hey, what exactly do you want this to do? What's your expectations? Because that right there off the top, it flips the whole dynamic of that conversation to begin with, because everybody else they're getting quotes from are just spitting numbers at them. They're not explaining the coverages to them. If they are, they're doing it, you know, lacklusterly. They don't know anything. The thing is all the same. You have to show them that it's different. You're going to be different simply because you were asking, hey, what do you want this to do for you? How is this going to help you and your family? What's your expectations? Because you and I might not be a good fit. Go ahead and say that to somebody, because nobody's saying that to them. Hey, I might not want to do business with you.
Yeah.
That sets you apart from everybody else.
Absolutely.
So everybody else, they want your dollar. I don't care how much or how little it is. I just want you to say yes.
Yep.
Buy my price. And then when you get screwed on a claim later, I'll have to tell you.
Yeah.
I got my tiny commission check.
Listen, guys, you got to have a process. It's got to be visible. It's got to be uniformed. It's got to be you've got to be able to evaluate it. You've got to be able to measure everything that you're doing. We've got a lot of options to help you, from sales training with your team, to marketing automation systems, to entire sales processes and follow-up processes that are automated that will reach out to your database on a daily basis. You know, when you look at the top producing teams, they're cranking out 100 to 150 calls per individual in that office. You got 10 people, they're making 1,000 calls a day. Most of you don't have the bandwidth. You can't. And let's be honest, that's honestly a shitty way to run your business every day. Nobody wants to go in and do that. I would highly suggest, though, it needs to be done in some form or fashion. Either you're gonna knock doors, you gotta call them, or you've gotta stay in front of them with effective marketing strategies. And we can provide that as well. I want you guys to take a look at insuranceleadgenie.com. It's an entire sales process. Everything that we've talked about, we've automated as much as technology will allow that for us. We've automated the entire sales process and follow-up process. And we can put that into a turnkey solution into your organization, so that you eliminate the variables of the way Tina versus John versus Paul sell. As a sales coach, you'd have to agree that it's really difficult to evaluate closing percentages of an office when you've got three different processes running within one roof.
Yeah, there should always be just one process going. And for those of you that are watching that are still in that mindset that employees cost money, this system that Sean is talking about right now will replace 10 employees. It'll take 10 people on your payroll to do what this thing can do. Definitely highly recommend it. I use it. My team uses it. It's phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah, so... listen, you've got to think systems processes for 2020. You've got to reevaluate your marketing. You're going to have to market. We know that we have to grow. We discussed that earlier. You got to do something different, and it has to be different. That doesn't mean, okay, let's go to a different lead vendor. That means a totally different approach. The vendor has to be doing something different. Most of the vendors out there are still using old, dilapidated strategies that are antiquated and archaic at best. And you cannot operate in that environment. So, you know, really reevaluate what you're doing. But at the end of the day, like I said, it doesn't matter how good the lead is. Doesn't matter how technical or fancy the automations and workflows are on the back end.
It's self-evaluation. You have to do something different.
You do. And when you get on the phone, you have to close it, or your team has to be a closer. You have to change the dynamic of the conversation, or none of the other things matter. You see it in your numbers. Ask yourself, answer those questions. Where did you spend your marketing dollars? Where did your new business come from? If those are not in alignment, there's something off.
Absolutely.
That has to be evaluated. Hopefully you guys got some value out of this. Take a look at insurancelegenie.com. Throw your comments in the video here below, and we'll chat with you. And Lewis, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.